Hey friends, it's me, Jennifer Jade. I just wanted to hop on for a few minutes because I've been having this internal nudge to really speak on that feeling of, you know, I've been working on my dreams, my dream business for X amount of time, and it's not bringing in the income that I thought it would have by now, or it's not at the level that I really thought it would be. And, you know, now I'm starting to feel a little bit anxious because we're approaching the holidays. And I don't know what to do. Like, do I work harder? Am I doing something wrong? Should I be getting a job? I really don't want to be getting a job. What should I do? So I've been just feeling this energy in general. I've had people, you know, reaching out to me asking this question privately. And I thought, you know what? If I'm feeling that way, you know, kind of having that energy going around right now with Christmas and you know, American Thanksgiving on Thursday and Black Friday coming up, and I can kind of feel that energy in general, but I'm also having people actually privately message me too. There's got to be more than just those few people feeling that way. So why not just share this in an open forum? And if this message was meant for you, then hopefully you stumble upon it, or if you feel called to share it with someone, maybe you can share it with them, you know, privately or however you'd like to. Just in a couple of moments here, if you can give me, I'm going to share this so that everyone can see it that might need to. So I've got it on my personal, but I'm going to quickly put it in my group with my Savvy Soul Sisters. And by the way, if you're not in my Savvy Soul Sister group, you're more than welcome to join. So it's called Jennifer Jade Savvy Soul Sisters. It's open to anyone, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. So I'll just quickly share this. If you're watching the replay, let me know. Let me know if you're here live. I'd love to say hello. Okay, so I'll just take this. I wish they could make this just a little bit easier to do, like before you go live. That'd be really nice. Okay, let me out. Why isn't it, I don't want the full page. And if you're watching, let me know where you're from. So if you're watching live or the replay, let me know where you're actually from. Are you from Canada? Are you from the States? Are you celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday? Are you from the UK? Where are you from? I'd love to hear that. And I'll just quickly hit post on this in my group, the Savvy Soul Sisters. You're welcome to join if you haven't already. There we go. Okay, let's go ahead. Thanks everyone for your patience. There we go. Hey, there's Phil from Nanaimo. Yay, that's my hometown. Hey, Phil. Fred's on Gabriola. Oh, hey. Yeah, actually, Phil, I know you're joking and you make the laughy face there. Phil says, what about the brothers? Because I say Savvy Soul Sisters. I just never thought that my messaging would appeal to very many men, so I just kind of made it more tailored to women. But, and I know you were just kind of kidding when you said that, but I have noticed that I've had more kind of men following my posts, my inspirational posts and things like that. So that is on my mind. And I'm writing a book right now. And originally the book was going to be written to women. And I was going to say kind of like feminine, like referring to the female person reading the book. And I've decided not to do that. The book is going to be open to whoever wants to read it. So I have been thinking about that, Phil, and thanks for mentioning it. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about something that has been, I've just been feeling in general in the world, and maybe you have too, you know, people going after their dreams and creating their dream businesses. Maybe things aren't taking off quite as fast as you thought they would be. And now we're approaching the holidays, and maybe there's a little bit of stress, a little bit of anxiety around how am I gonna, you know, afford the gifts that I wanna buy for my kids, my family, the turkey dinners, the different events, the outfits. Oh, thanks, Fred Wicks. That's awesome. Hi, Trish. from Sylvan Lake, and Shannon's here. Yay! Oh, this is so cool. Usually I do my videos in my private Savvy Soul Sister group, but it's really nice to see some fresh faces when I do it on my public page, my personal page sometimes. So thank you for saying hi. Reassures I made the right choice today. So I want to describe, follow me along here, stay with me, because I feel like there's must be more than two categories, but there's two categories that really stand out for me. If someone were to reach out to me and say, hey, I've started my dream business, we're approaching the holidays, I'm not really sure what I should do, I really don't want to have to get a job, you know, usually someone who started their dream business, especially if they've already made the leap from their 9 to 5 or their job, that the last thing you want to do is go back and get a job. It's kind of like feeling like maybe a failure or admitting defeat, or it took a lot of courage to leave your job behind, and to go back just feels like, oh man, like might feel like the worst thing that could possibly have to happen. So let's address this together right now. The two categories I'm talking about, there is no right or wrong category, but I'm just asking you to honestly, not the one you want to be in, but honestly the one that you feel you fit into. When you are working in your business, because I feel like if you're working in your business and your business is in alignment with you, you feel good about it, you feel good about the services you're offering, you feel good about the pricing, then I think honestly one of the biggest things that's missing, and you may not want to hear this, is time. It's just time and it's patience. You know, we've seen stories of people having really fast success, especially online. People like to say, you know, I had success in this amount of time, and maybe you've been inspired someone who had success fast. I had success on a relatively fast scale in this coaching business. But, you know, with that being said, we've got to pay attention to the backstory as well. And the backstory is, I haven't had a paycheck in 10 years. It's taken me 10 years to be an overnight success, you know, if that makes sense. I started off as a 100% commission-based mortgage broker, and I was scared out of my mind. It was 2 weeks before my 22nd birthday. I already had a mortgage. I had a car payment. I had things I needed to pay, and I lost sleep at night not knowing where my next paycheck was going to come from, not knowing how I was going to create clients in the next 30 days, or if I was going to create clients the month after that or the month after that. So I really had to learn to get outside of my comfort zone, get outside of my fears, push beyond those, make contacts with realtors and people who I knew were kind of looking down and judging me on being this 21-year-old, you know, young girl who didn't really know what she was talking about, and asking them to trust me with their clients. So I really had to learn about that. And then I started a photography business, which was completely different than mortgages. And again, I had to learn how to put myself online, how to be vulnerable. How do I allow people to get to know me as a person rather than just a business? So it's me, the person that they want to do business with. If I was, just a side note, if I was a photographer and I only portrayed myself as my services, then I would have so much competition in the world, because how many millions of amazing photographers are there in the world? So if I was only presenting myself as a photographer, I'd be in competition with millions of other photographers who've been doing it longer than me, who are better than me, who are more creative and artistic, who know about lighting better, all of those things. So I knew, and thank gosh, I found this out from a mentor, which is why I really revere seeking out mentors and working with them. She said, Jen, people do not want to do business with a business. They want to do business with a person. And that, oh, I get goosebumps saying that one sentence. That I learned that very early in my business before I went full time with my photography business. And that's when I started learning how to be more vulnerable online. Now, I'm not saying I aired my dirty laundry, that I would talk about every fight with my husband and all this kind of stuff online. I shared what I was comfortable sharing. Sometimes I'd stretch beyond what was comfortable, like my beliefs and things like that, but I don't have to air anything that's too personal, or, you know, you don't, when people say be more vulnerable, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But it definitely stretched me outside of my comfort zone, and I allowed people to see who I was as a person. And so then I began getting messages through time of, Jen, I wasn't even engaged, but I knew that you had to be the person to photograph my wedding. And it wasn't, you know, how good or bad I was at as a photographer. It was me, the person that they wanted to be there on their wedding day. And so these are the things that I've kind of compiled and learned over 10 years to bring me into what I do now. So when you see people who they built their business really fast in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, odds are, maybe not always, but odds are they've been an entrepreneur before. Perhaps they were raised in an entrepreneurial family, so they have a bit of a head start, things like this. So number one, before I get into the two categories, I really don't want you to feel down on yourself because you didn't build some multi-six-figure business in 6 months. That doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. It doesn't mean that you're out of alignment. It doesn't mean that you're in the wrong business. It just means that enough time hasn't passed yet for you to really get into the groove, for people to really warm up to your services and what you do in the world. So allow people that opportunity to get to know you as a person, to understand the services you provide, have some patience with yourself. I know that's like us humans, many of us anyways, myself especially, patience is one of those key things I came to this planet to learn. So, keep in mind that patience and just keep having that persistence. I mean, how many times have you heard ultra, uber successful billionaires say the number one thing that has helped them get where they're at is persistence? That's it, being consistent with what they believe in and what they're doing and not giving up on it. So it's time, it's persistence and consistency. So please don't be down on yourself. Please don't think you're a failure or you're out of alignment, you're doing the wrong thing. You're not. If it feels good for you, if it feels exciting for you, if there's something inside that told you to do it, keep doing it until you don't have that feeling anymore. So let's move on now into the two categories I mentioned at the start of this live. Let me know if you have any questions as I go, let me know. I'm going to try and, for some reason, I have to refresh my screen in order to see them. Mary Field says, just never quit. Awesome. My connection keeps stuttering right when you were acknowledging my question. That's okay, Phil. That's all good. Okay, so let's keep going here. Here's how I feel about money. Money is a currency. And isn't it so cool that we actually call it currency? And what I would say to someone who is not creating the currency yet in their business that they wish they were, I just want to make sure, sorry guys, I'm there, I don't want to make my head cut off for you, I think like that's weird. If you are in a place of working in your dream business, you know, you've started your business and it's not where you want it to be, then I don't have a general, you know, piece of advice that everyone watching this who started your business and it's not where you want it to be, yes, you do need to go get a job, or no, you don't need to go get a job. I can't generalize everybody watching into a yes or no. But I want to share with you the two categories so you can really take into consideration where you might be at in your own life and in your own business and with your own energy. So I also don't know your finances. So like number one, you've got to eat. You've got to be able to put food in your mouth and in your kid's mouth and keep a roof over your head. And if it were me, I would do whatever I needed to do that. I would not let my ego get in my way. I would get a job at McDonald's if I had to. I would bartend, I would serve, I would wash tables. Like, I would do whatever I needed to do to make sure that my family and my loved ones are safe and have food and are taken care of. And I would not let my ego get in the way of that. If you're not quite at that point yet, but you're just kind of starting to get worried and nervous, here's where I want to talk about, you know, your energy and the two categories. I truly believe that if you have any kind of desperate energy when you are connecting with potential clients, it can really be scaring them away. So think of any time that you've gone into a place where, you know, they work on commission and you could sense whether or not they just really wanted a sale and they really wanted you to be that sale, whether it was like an electronic store or a car dealership or, you know, any place where they work on commission, and you just really got this kind of icky feeling inside that, oh, they're really being pushy. Like, I think they just really want to sell me something, and they don't really care if I'm happy or not. They just want the money or the commission or whatever. Conversely, you've probably walked into the same kind of locations, electronic store, car dealership, whatever, and someone's been completely cool with you, completely relaxed, way more concerned about your happiness, your well-being, what's going to be a fit for you or not. They never rushed you. There was no pressure on you. And you're just like, man, this person really cares about me. I really like this person. And you probably referred the heck out of that person afterwards if you went on to have a great experience. You know, it really goes with that quote, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. So this is why I bring up the topic of desperate energy. And this is not to say that you mean to have desperate energy or that you intentionally have it. But even if you're saying the most calm, relaxed words, if you're carrying this kind of desperate neediness in your energy, people can feel that. They can feel it. You know, I don't even know if this is appropriate, but it's coming up to say people can smell bullshit from a mile away. So, well, what do we do about that? I remember reading in a book one time, it was called The Prosperous Coach, but I feel like it applies to everyone. And it said, if you need a client, you need a job. And then he went on to talk about that same kind of desperate energy that I'm sharing with you right now. And I'll tell you, I had to think about that for a moment because I didn't 100% agree. And so this is why now I feel like we break off into different categories depending on where you're at on your journey. I feel, and I truly believe that yes, if you are feeling a bit desperate, a bit anxious, a bit worried, then there's a possibility you're bringing that energy into any client interaction, whether it's directly with a potential client or it is in when you're creating an ad or you're creating a Facebook post or a sales page or whatever it is for your business. You might have woven in without meaning to this desperate energy. And I do believe that getting a job can shift that. So if you did have a job, hear me out, because that's not all I'm going to say about this. I do believe that there are people in the world that it would serve them to get a job, and it would really be in service to their dreams and to their business, because it would take away that, holy crap, how am I going to feed my kids this month? Holy crap, how am I going to pay the utility bill? Oh my gosh, can I keep the heat on through the winter? Is the power going to shut off on Christmas Day? Like, if you're having these thoughts and they're realistic, you know, please let only be taking those thoughts into consideration if they're actually a real possibility. Please, you know, if that's just ego turning up the volume and trying to scare you, please don't listen to it. But if that's a real reality for you right now, a real potential possibility for you right now, getting a job would I believe very much help shift that energy away from, oh my gosh, how am I gonna feed my kids, my family. Getting a job can really help shift that energy. If you're not in that place, and by the way, it doesn't have to be a job, you can be creative about this. Maybe there's other things that you can be doing that bring in an income. I was watching Shark Tank. Mark Cuban last night said that he used to sell his blood all the time. I don't know if that's how it works in Canada, but I guess in the States, you actually get paid for selling your blood or for blood donations. If there's any Americans, you know, let me know if I have that right. But he said that he used to sell his blood all the time. And that was how he would kind of keep some money coming in while he was getting his business and his dreams going. There's other ways to bring in money. Maybe there's side jobs. Maybe there's contract work that you can be doing for other businesses or other people, even in your industry, just to go, you know, through the holiday season. You can think outside the box. Anyway, so yes, there's the category where, yes, getting a job is going to help you shift your energy. Your focus will no longer be on, holy crap, I don't have any money. Holy crap, how am I going to eat? How am I going to feed my kids? Because that energy is not going to serve anyone. It's not going to serve you. It's not going to serve your business. And even if you're being as cool as a cucumber when talking to other people, they'll be able to sense that in your energy if getting a job is the only way that you're able to shift your energy. Okay, this is where things are going to start to get a bit interesting. You might be in a place where the only way for you to shift your energy is to get a job, and that's totally okay. And what I offer to you, if this is your reality and this is the category that you fall into, is not to allow ego to get in the way of accepting income in a different form than you had initially expected or wanted it to come in. So, you know, it is not admitting defeat to take income in different forms. You're not a failure if you need to accept income in different forms than your one that you wanted, the dream business. And it does not mean you're giving up on your dream business. It does not mean that you failed. It means that you're willing to do whatever it takes to see your dreams come to fruition. You are willing to do whatever it takes. How many success stories have you heard of famous actors? I know that they particularly share their stories of how they were a janitor for 10 years, how they scrubbed toilets, how they did anything and everything they could until their dream came true. So it wasn't if it will come true, it was when. And they never quit and they never gave up. Ooh, I'm getting goosebumps up and down my arms. So please be willing to do whatever it takes to keep your dreams going, even if that means a temporary side income of some kind. Do not let your ego get in the way of keeping your dreams going, even if it's not in the form that you had initially anticipated or wanted or dictated. You know, allow income to come in different forms. Remember, it's only temporary. And remember, this is going to shift your energy, which is actually going to serve your business. It's going to serve your dreams and continuing to grow. If we're trying to beat our head against a wall and our focus is on, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I'm struggling, I don't have enough, I don't have enough. How are you going to grow a business when your focus is, I don't have enough? So, you know, really, like, start to get really honest with yourself with, what am I willing to do to keep my dreams alive? Okay, so that's one category. Let's go to the second category. I'm going to just take a pause here. That's right. You would simply make it work and make it happen. That's right, Mary. Great message. Jennifer says, Troy. Ah, yes, Tim, that's a great question too, and I'll get to that. That's a great question. Okay, cool. Okay, so that's the first category where, you know, yes, it may be necessary, and only you can decide that for yourself, to get a job and to not allow ego to get in the way, and to remember that getting a job is going to help you shift your energy, and it's going to be in service of you keeping your dreams alive and having that more of an attractive energy to bring in clients rather than repel them away. And remember, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. It's only temporary if you do have to allow income to come in different forms. The next category, this is for the people who, you know, yes, you're, you know, totally natural. You've got worries about money. You're not quite sure how you're going to get through Christmas. You know, you don't have every penny already in your bank account. But you're not near the point of, you know, not being able to eat and not being able to feed your kids, because that's number one priority. You know, maybe you're getting close. Maybe it's like, you know, 1 or 2 months away type of a thing. Really, you've got to feel into this for yourself, because I can't see your specific finances and I can't feel your specific energy. And only you can really have that direct communication with your intuition. But here's where I had a hard time believing fully when I read in that book, if you need a client, you need a job. And that is this. I believe that we are in control of our energy at all times. And the way that you shift your energy is with your thoughts. This is where the energy that we carry begins with our thoughts. Now, many of us are not yet at the place where we know how to control our thoughts, and we know that we're in the driver's seat of our thoughts. And what's more is that we understand we are not our thoughts. We are the observer of our thoughts. And at any given time, you can shift your energy by shifting your thoughts. So if this is not where you're at on your journey quite yet, then this may not apply to you. Maybe it does. Let's keep going and see if it does. Here's what I felt when I heard that phrase in that book, if you need a client, you need a job. Yes, for many people that is true. Yes, I understand. I understand what that author was saying. But for some people that isn't true, depending on your financial situation. But I remember when I was starting my this now business, the one that I'm in right now, and I was falling out of love with the business of photography, so I wasn't really booking. You know, people would reach out and try and book shoots with me, and I was just kind of like, I'm booked, I'm busy, I don't know. Like, you know, I didn't feel aligned taking on shoots if I wasn't excited about them, and there wasn't many shoots that I was excited about anymore. So I wasn't bringing in much income at this point. And I was starting my coaching business because I knew what really excited me was actually helping people that were sitting in that 9-to-5 that I was once in, when I was in finance, when I was in mortgages, and I was unhappy. And I left that to pursue what was once my childhood biggest dream, destination wedding photography, and the immense fear, but then the exhilaration of seeing that come true before my very eyes. This is what I wanted to help people with now. That's what excited me. That's what felt aligned and powerful for me. So that's where I was at. Didn't have much income coming in from my old business, but yet hadn't started my new business. So when I was starting to create my business and starting to talk to clients, yeah, I needed the money. I did need the money. I had a bigger mortgage now. I had a bigger car payment. I had more bills and more debt to take care of. Then when I was leaving my 9-to-5, and I didn't know, am I going to like being a coach? Are people going to hire me as a coach? Do coaches even like make a decent living? Like, I had no idea. I had no clue what I was getting myself into. I just knew that it felt right. So yeah, those first few clients, I did have in the back of my mind, I need the money. I have a mortgage. I have bills. Like, I have obligations. And I'm not seeing much income, you know, come in from my photography business, not enough to cover my bills. So yeah, I do need the money. So did I run out and get a job? No, I wasn't at the point of really being in that place. I was in debt. Yes. Yes, I was in debt, but I was able to make the minimum payments. I was able to somehow, I don't know how, but like meet my half of the bills with my husband every month. And I wasn't at the place where I just really needed to get a job. And so I hung in there, and I knew this about the energy though. I knew that I didn't want to show up in my discovery calls or in my talks with potential clients when they're considering hiring me with me speaking, you know, nice words through my mouth, but having this bullseye on my forehead, like, I need the money, please hire me. I need the money, please hire me. So this is what I did. When I was in the moments of communicating with a potential client, for me in my coaching business, that would be a discovery call. If you're a photographer, that would be a wedding consult, or, you know, any kind of consult or whatever business that you're in. You know those moments when someone, you're talking back and forth with someone and they're considering hiring you. They're asking you your rates. They're asking, you know, things like that. In those moments, I would shift my thoughts. So I'm not saying that you have to be able to be in control of your thoughts 100% of the time. That would take a lot of energy. You can get there by practice over time. But in these moments with this business, I couldn't control my thoughts. I wasn't at that place yet of controlling them 100% of the time. I still don't control them 100% of the time. Lots of times I go drift into autopilot. And then I can tell if I start to feel crappy that my thoughts have drifted into autopilot again. But in those moments, I was very intentional and I was very conscious of my energy because I was conscious of my thoughts. So I would have this, you know, hour-long discovery call with a potential client. We're getting to know each other. We're seeing if we're a good fit to be doing this deep kind of coaching work together. And at the end of the call comes the, okay, well, how much are your rates? What is it like to work with you? And this is where I would start to feel like, okay, like I have to tell her how much my rates are. This is where she's going to decide if she's going to work with me or not. And this is where you can really get bungled up into the whole, gosh, I hope she hires me. Oh gosh, I really need this money right now. Gosh, Christmas is coming. Oh, how am I going to pay for the gifts for my kids? How am I going to buy the turkey? Like, oh God, please hire me. Please hire me. So you do not want these thoughts at the forefront of your mind when someone is deciding whether or not to work with you. And yes, you are in control of your thoughts. So this is for the people who who really understand me when I say you are in control of your thoughts and you can shift them. So in those moments when someone is debating whether or not they want to work with you, and naturally your ego, your inner critic wants to be all worried and fearful and desperate, here's what you can do. Instead of resisting those thoughts, instead of saying like, no, get out of here, I'm not allowed to think you, I'm not allowed to think about those thoughts, no, I'm not allowed, that's resisting. And what do we know about resisting? What you resist persists. What you resist persists. So I say to my thoughts, yes, I know it sounds crazy, I'm having like an internal conversation in milliseconds while I'm dialoguing with a potential client. And I say to myself, I can have these thoughts. Don't worry, fears. I'm going to come back to you. We'll sort this out. We'll see this through. We'll figure this out, but not right now. You go into the passenger seat, better yet out the window if that's possible, but you go in the passenger seat. Right now in the driver's seat is how may I serve? How may I serve? Take out the what's in it for me. Put that in the passenger seat. You don't have to resist it. You don't have to tell those thoughts to get lost and to leave you alone, because what you resist persists. But say, hey, I'm going to come back to you. Don't worry, fears. I'm going to come back to you. We'll figure it out. We'll make a plan. Regardless of whether or not this person signs up or not, we're going to figure this out. But right now, I need you to go in the passenger seat. I need you to shut up. I need you to just be quiet. Just for now, I will come back to you. What's in it for me, and I really need this, and oh my gosh, it's Christmas, and I really need this client right now, that's got to go in the passenger seat. In the driver's seat is how may I serve, how may I serve, how may I serve, and just keep asking yourself silently, even as you're talking, even as they're talking, how may I serve, how may I serve. And this is when you would really want to be using your gut instincts. You know, I use the word intuition a lot. This is why I'm so gung-ho. Do people say gung-ho anymore? I'm so gung-ho about people tuning into their intuition, because it serves you in all areas of your life, including business. So this is when you would tune in into your intuition. How may I serve? How may I serve? And you will hear. You will hear exactly what to say. You will hear exactly what to offer. You will hear of some spontaneous, you know, offering or bonus or something that would help them really connect with your services. I'm not telling you to discount yourself. I'm not telling you to do things that don't feel good. But I'm telling you, if there's something that this person needs to be asked, or there's something that this person needs to hear, you will hear it. You will be given that guidance in those moments when you're asking, how may I serve? How may I serve? And listening to this person, listening to what they're saying, listening to what they're not saying, taking that into your intuition and saying, well, how can I best serve this person now? And so as you begin to speak and as you begin to share about your services, it will flow naturally. You probably aren't even consciously aware that you're actually saying exactly what relates to this person. You're relating exactly stories that they relate to. You're really connecting with them on this level, using your gut instinct, using your intuition, really tapping into what's going to serve this person, what's going to serve them. And then guess what? Remember when I talked about the metaphor of, not really a metaphor, but the analogy of going into a electronics store or a car lot, and you've got the one salesperson who is like, oh gosh, please buy this, you should buy this, you should buy it right now, why don't you buy it right now, how come you're not buying it yet, you should buy it right now. And then there's the other salesperson who is just totally chill, totally relaxed, is really listening to what you have to say, is really tuning into your needs. It's almost like they intuitively get you, and you trust this person because you feel like they really care about you and your needs. That's the person you want to be, and that's how this person is going to feel when you are in a space of how may I serve. You've put your personal fears and worries and concerns of money to the side, and don't resist them. Don't tell them they have to go away forever. Tell them you're going to come back to them, and you guys can worry together later, and you can create a plan later. But right now it's how may I serve? How may I serve? And coming from that place, you shift your energy with how may I serve. Even as you are communicating back and forth, those thoughts will try and creep back in, like, oh, but what about the hydro bill? How are you going to pay that this month? Oh, what if, you know, little Tommy wants that, you know, Sony Rebel camera, or Sony Rebel, oh my gosh, Jen, you were a photographer, Canon Rebel camera. How are you going to buy that? When those thoughts are even trying to creep back in, put them back in the passenger seat. I'm in control of my thoughts. How may I serve? How may I serve? How may I serve? You know, do that as many times. And I promise you, the first few times you do this, it will feel like you have to very consciously focus on your thoughts and focus in being of service and not paying attention to the bills that you need to pay and that Christmas is coming up. It will feel like the first few times you learned something new, the first few times that you went on a bicycle ride ever as a child. It felt like, oh gosh, the first time you learned how to drive a stick shift in a car, it felt like fumbly and awkward. But the more you do it, the more it just becomes automatic. The more it just becomes a habit. So now when I'm talking to potential clients, I never think about what's in it for me. Maybe never is a strong word. I don't know if I can claim that, but I don't remember ever anymore thinking about what's in it for me. I really need this money. Oh my gosh, how am I going to get my bills paid? I'm always thinking now, what's in it for them? How can I serve them? If I were in their shoes, what would I really need right now? What would I really want right now? And coming from a place of service from that way. So, yay. So I hope that makes sense. There's the category where, yes, you know, depending on your actual financial situation, not just the fears and worries of ego, but if you were to look on paper, you have no clue how you're going to put food on the table for your kids, you know, or keep the heat on in your house. You know, if that's real, then that's real. If it's fears and it's just worries, like I said, I was in debt, but I didn't go get a job. I just made the minimum payments. And I kept going with my business. I'm not saying that's the right choice for you, but if you're not able to keep up with even your minimum payments, you're not able to keep up food on the table, you know, let's think about getting the job. And let's remember that this is in service to you shifting your energy so that your focus is no longer worrying how you're going to feed your kids and how you're going to keep the heat on in the house. You can now bring that energy back into, okay, this is awesome. My bills are taken care of. Now I can look at my business from a healthy point of view. What would be the most joyful way to create my next few clients? What would be the most joyful offering that I can create next? Oh, this is so much fun. I love this. How can I serve? And now you're in the energy to actually grow your business. You know, it's a tough, long road to grow your business when all you're thinking about is how you don't have enough and how your business isn't going anywhere and it's not growing. I don't have enough and I never have enough. And in that energy, if those are your thoughts, then that's your energy, and the universe will give you more to, the universe basically just says your wish is my command. So if you're running around with thoughts of I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, the universe is saying your wish is my command, let's make sure she doesn't have enough. We understand the universe knows that you're in control of your thoughts. So it always says yes. The universe always says yes. It does not judge your thoughts. It does not decide for you. It knows that you're in control of your thoughts. So it always says yes to whatever your thoughts are, the energy. And it's not actually responding to your thoughts. Literally, it's responding to the energy that you're holding as a result of your thoughts. So if you're saying, I don't have enough, I never have enough, I'm broke, I don't have enough, the universe is saying yes. Yes, okay, you don't have enough, you never have enough, you don't have enough, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So you are in control of your thoughts. The universe knows you're in control of your thoughts. The universe never says no. It always says yes. And so you can say in your mind, I wish I had more money. Universe, please give me more money. But if your real actual thoughts and energy are, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, that's what the universe is responding to. It's your energy, not your thoughts. But it is your thoughts that shift your energy. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So those are the two categories. I hope that they make sense. I want to see, you know, there were some questions here, and if you have any questions right now, feel free to post them. For some reason, it's only showing me the most recent four things that were written. I'm going to see if there's a way that I can actually see all of the questions. Let's see. Okay, I can scroll on here. Okay, so I'll scroll on here. Man, I feel like this could be. Do you guys tell me when you ever are working with something, do you get all these thoughts in your head about how it could be so much better if Facebook would just do it this way or if Facebook would just do it that way? It's like, okay, like what, it should, there should be an easier way for me to see all your comments. Anyways, okay, so Fred says hi. Okay, cool. So I did talk to Trish, said hi from Sylvan Lake. Thank you, Fred. Hi, Shannon. Yay, Lisa. Oh, we miss you too. Okay, cool. Never quit. I love it, Mary. Great message. Ah. Okay, so Tim. Hi, Jen. I'm a professional photographer. I have been a very successful commission salesperson for years. How do you get to do all the bookkeeping? Yeah. Oh, so it's not. I did see this before, though. It's not letting me see the full thing now. But I remember, Tim, what you said when I got to read it the first time. And here's what I would do. Doesn't mean it has to be what you would do, but I honestly outsource. So I keep things as simple as possible. If I can manage it myself in a spreadsheet and I can keep it simple and it doesn't take up a lot of my time, I'll do it myself. But if I can't do it myself, then I'm going to outsource. You know, my time is really, really valuable to me. I'm sure it's very valuable to you, as valuable to you as well. So I have now hired a bookkeeper who works in the same office as my accountant. I don't worry about these things anymore. Anything like, there's things that I still do for myself. Like I still do my own Facebook ads because I spent the time and money to learn about the ins and outs of Facebook ads, and I find now I'm in a good routine. I haven't yet outsourced anyone to do that kind of stuff for me, but my rule of thumb is keep it as simple as possible. I don't like to overcomplicate things. My brain will always work to overcomplicate things, and then I have to scale it back. Like, okay, well, how can I do this in a more simpler way? How can I keep it simple? And if I can keep it simple and it's really draining and exhausting me, then I outsource it. And at first, the first time you hear someone say, "Oh, outsource it or pay someone else," you're like, "Oh, but that's like money I could be having, and I maybe my business isn't big enough to be outsourcing things." And the thing is like if you actually break it down into numbers and you really do the math, like I remember I had a business coach. I was 3 months into my business, and she said, "It's time for you to get a virtual assistant." I was like, "Oh, virtual assistants are for people who've made it. I haven't made it. I'm only 3 months into my business. You know, I need to be doing these things on my own." And she said, "You need to get support now before you're too busy to even train someone on how to support you." And what's great is a virtual assistant is about $15 an hour starters, depending on their expertise level. And they can be anywhere in the world, and you just send them the information you need to send them, and they handle it. So, $15 an hour, I thought, okay, well, I could afford $30 a week. Like, I could hire a virtual assistant 2 hours a week to take off the stuff off of my plate that I really could care less about doing. The stuff that really just chaps my ass that I have to do. You know, I would give that to a virtual assistant. I can afford the 30. I wouldn't miss the $30. I would spend $30, you know, eating at a restaurant and not think twice about it. So, yeah, if this is going to save me time and hassle, then I'll spend the $30. So, I don't know if that helps you, Tim, but, you know, even your most time-consuming thing, finding someone who can take that off your plate, and even if it's just a small portion of it, and it's just a couple hours a week, that could be very helpful. Okay, so let's go to Leah. I'm torn between investing more in my business with money I don't have or letting time and inspiration do its thing. To Leah, that's such a great question. Oh, yes, thank you for bringing that up. I hope you're still here. There's a difference between investing into yourself and your business out of inspiration and investing into your business and yourself out of desperation. And I'm just feeling into what's coming up for me here to share. To me, the difference is there's something that you know you need to learn, there's something that you know you need to overcome. There's something that you know is getting in your way. And so you invest in working with someone that you know can help you with that particular thing. Whereas desperation to me is kind of like, holy crap, I don't know what I'm doing and I need someone to tell me what to do. And like, okay, well, I'm going to do what this person's doing. No, I'm going to do what this person's doing. No, I'm going to do what this person's doing. Okay, now I'm going to learn about funnels. No, now I'm going to learn about, you know, webinars. No, now I'm going to learn about this. No, now I'm going to learn about this. And it's a bit frantic and it's a bit chaotic and it's a bit kind of spread all over the place. And it's more like taking a stab in the dark and trying to learn a bunch of things from a bunch of different people than really knowing, okay, what am I needing support with right now? And who is the best person that can support me in this area? And I mean, I'm probably biased, but I believe, you know, working on the personal inner growth, the mindset, the money stories, the spiritual growth, I believe that is far more powerful than throwing money at the Band-Aid, more surfacey stuff. I don't want to call it Band-Aid-y, but like the strategy kind of things, I think there's no point in investing in strategy type things until you are crystal clear on your foundation, your purpose, your why, any money blocks, any things that you need to let go of, being open to receiving, you know, all we've in stuff that we've worked on. If there's any of those areas that you know need more concentrated work, then I would focus on that before then moving into, okay, how am I going to implement this? What's the strategy? Am I going to use funnels? Am I going to use webinars? You can seek experts out that for that next. So for you, do I invest it into my business money that I don't have? Or letting time and inspiration do its thing? The other question that I'd have for you, Talia, if you're still here, is what have you been doing consistently? I remember, because I'm very impatient. I'm going to use past tense. I was a very impatient person. I am now a much more patient person. That's conscious language for you. And I remember saying to my coach, like, what's going on? I thought I could do, you know, 18 grand this month. And it was like my third or fourth month in business. Looking back, I'm like, that was so ridiculous. Anyways, she said, well, Jen, what have you been doing? Have you been sending out your, you know, my strategy, my plan, as I was crystal clear on what I was doing, what was my strategy? And I said, well, I've sent out, you know, like, a couple of newsletters, and you know, I've made a Facebook post. And she's like, okay, so you've sent out two newsletters and one Facebook post, and you're wondering why. And she's like, also, you barely started your business like 3 or 4 months ago. And I was like, okay. So and then since then, I've remembered that, and I've asked my clients, what have you been doing consistently? What have you been doing consistently week after week after week to really build the know, like, and trust factor with your audience? Or have you been kind of sporadic? Have you kind of sent a newsletter once in a while? Then you did a couple of Facebook lives. Then you went back to a couple of newsletters. Then you did a Facebook post. Then you did, and it's kind of all over the map and it's not very consistent. So it's hard for people to follow you because they don't have this pattern of, oh, it's Tuesday, she's going to send out a newsletter. Oh, it's Wednesday, she's going to do a Facebook Live. And they kind of almost, without realizing, you've almost trained them when to tune into you and that you're consistent and they trust you and they trust your message and they really love what you're sharing and they feel like they can connect with you. They really understand that you relate to their pain points of where they're at. You've been there, you've lived them, and you've been consistent. So it's up to you, Talia. Where you want to invest your money. For some reason, I'm feeling for you, it is some time and being consistent with what you're implementing. And yes, to speaking to how you relate to your ideal client. Let them know that you've been in their shoes. Let them know that you understand. Share with them from that place And when they know that you get it, they will open up to you as well. I hope that helps, but feel free to reach out to me privately if you'd like. Okay, hey, Beth Joy is here, yay! Samantha's here. Hey, Samantha, I was thinking of you. I'm so happy you're here. Oh, happy Thanksgiving week to you. Yay, Beth Joy loves this. Create dominant, purposeful thoughts. Yes, John. Woo, love it, John. Samantha says, this is awesome. Yay, Candace Fraser is here. Hi, beautiful. Amen, says Phil. Awesome. Stacy, let me see if I can... let me read the whole thing, but let me see if I can get this. I fall into the second category. A challenge for me is the anxiety I feel about relying on my husband to support me financially in the gap time as I build my business. Stacy, if you're still here or you're watching the replay, I know what you're talking about because I have always been a very independent woman, very self-sufficient, don't want to rely on anyone else. I don't need a man to take care of me, all those thoughts. I get it. Like, I mean, maybe you're not quite where that far, but I was like, I never want to have to rely on someone else to take care of me. I don't want to be in that position. You know, what if that person were to go away? What if they were to, something were to happen to them or I don't know what. And, you know, I never wanted to leave myself stranded. So, I had to go into far beyond my comfort zone, which is what being an entrepreneur will call you to do. And I had to ask my husband when I was leaving my 9-to-5 in finance, I had to ask my husband, I said, Graham, I don't know if I will be successful as a photographer, but I do know that I will regret it on my deathbed if I don't even try. And I do know that in order for me to feel like I gave this my very best, that I need to give it a try full time. So I gave myself a year to learn as much as I could about photography, about the business of it, about marketing of it, about actually taking photos, how I could hit the ground running with my business when I would transition out of finance and mortgages a year later. And I said, when I go full time into photography, I don't know that I'll be able to pay my half of the bills every month. I don't know what my income is going to be at Christmas in the wintertime when weddings are mostly in the summer. You know, I'll do my best to plan around this. I'm going to give this everything I have. But can you give me 12 months? Can you give me 12 months to see what's possible and understand that there may be months or stretch of months that I can't come to the table with the money that I usually have? But if I can't make a go of this thing in 12 months, then I will know that I gave it my best and I will do what I have to do from that point on, whether it's go back to mortgages or, you know, whatever it is. So I asked him to give me that period of 12 months. He happily agreed. He just wanted me to be happy and go after my dream. So I'm very, very lucky that way. And that, fortunately, it never happened. It never happened where I couldn't somehow come up with my half of the bills, my half of the mortgage. So if it helps you, Stacy, to put a time frame on it, just to say, hey, is it okay that for 6 months or maybe 12 months or a time frame that you both are comfortable with, maybe I won't have my half of the bills and things like that. Is that okay? Does that work? I just need to know what's possible and I want to give this my everything. How does that work? So Stacy, maybe that helps. I don't know, but that's just what came up to share with you. Okay, so Beth Joy, yay! Hey, Beth is saying hey to Brittany, let my soul sisters are here. Divine Timing tuning in as I'm in the VS hiring quandary. Oh, cool! That's awesome, Michelle. So yeah, feel free to ask me any questions you might have. I remember I hired one before I was ready. And it made sense that, you know, here's how I was feeling. I was feeling like I wanted to get a newsletter out, the blog and the social media, but I also had one-on-one clients and I started to feel like my tasks were coming up above, like if this was water and the water was rising and I was kind of like this. And it was probably time to get a virtual assistant before that point. But I'm so happy that it came to my attention to hire one when I did, because otherwise I would just get busier and busier. And when it came time to hire a virtual assistant, I wouldn't have any time to train them. So, you know, if you can spare the $15 or $30 for 1 or 2 hours a week, I say go for it and you can grow from there. Talia, oh my God, that's totally me. Brittany, my question is a half business strategy related, half intuition related. Okay, cool. This is Brittany Hammond. As you know, I am lighting a fire under my butt right now, and I have mapped out my group program. I want to start prepping. Oh, this is a little bit frustrating, you guys, because it just cuts it off and it doesn't give me an option to read the rest. So now I'm on my desktop and it's only showing me the most recent comments, and it's not giving me an option to look at the previous comments. So here's what I'm going to do, you guys. If I can't actually see your whole question, I'm going to come back and reply to it in the comments. Sorry about that, Brittany. And I know you and I will get a chance to talk about this in person as well, but I will reply in the comments, because it's all I can see is I want to start prepping, and that's it. Brittany, I had no idea you did your own Facebook ads, Jen. That's so cool. I'm watching the Facebook ad training in our bonus section right now. Whoop, whoop. That's awesome, Brittany. Consistently, I'm practicing law of attraction, good feelings, business plan. I have funnels in place, 2 emails per week, consistent posts. Okay, that's awesome, Talia. That's awesome. And I know you're working with a coach, Talia. And so I know it's kind of hard. We're kind of going through comments and Facebook Live, but and you know, maybe there's a bit of work around receiving and your thermostat of income. If you remember the book the Big Leap with Gay Hendricks, and he talks about that internal thermostat we have, and once we reach that internal thermostat, we start to self-sabotage. Other than that, if you're being consistent, your message is clear. This is huge. Is your message clear? Does the woman really understand what you're going to help her with? And are you speaking in the language of where she's at and what she thinks she wants right now? So you're up here with what you know what she actually wants. You know what she actually needs. You know what she needs. You've been there. You've been through it. You now understand how you got through the other side, but she's still here in her experience, and she might believe that she needs something else or something different. So really, you know, having a look at your messaging and making sure that you're relating to the pain points of where they're at, and you're very clearly relaying the benefits of where they can be if they are open enough to working with you and they take that leap of working with you. So where are they at? What is the language that they would be talking to with their friends right now about what they wish they had or what they wish they could do? What are they Googling? What are they researching? What is the language that they're using for where they're at right now, even though they're your ideal client? And just making sure the messaging is very clear. So if you have maybe a few people that you could share your website with, maybe in the Savvy Soul Sister group or any of the other Facebook groups that you're in, and just say, hey, I'm looking for some really honest feedback. Is my messaging crystal clear? Is it appealing? Do you really get a feeling that you understand who I'm trying to reach out to and how I can serve them? And, you know, I really would like your honesty. You know, I don't want just a good job pat on the back, but does this feel enticing to you? Does this feel appealing to you? Is this something that you would invest in? Does this make sense to you? And just sometimes we're really clear in our head, and sometimes it gets lost in translation. So clarity of message. Yes, what I'm hearing for you right now, Talia, is a confused mind says no. A confused mind says no. So I think we would really want to look into your messaging, just making sure that that's hitting their pain points, you relating to them so they really know that you get where they're at, and then very, very vividly and clearly describing where they can be, how you are the right person to help them get from A to B. Okay, so I hope that helps. Yay, Phil. Oh, thank you, Dan. That's awesome. So happy you're here. Thank you, Samantha. Hi, Stacy. Oh, that's so cool. So helpful to know I'm not the only one who feels this way. I love that. I want to start prepping for it now and launch it before Christmas, but have the program start date in January, but I'm getting tripped up. Oh, thank you, Brittany, for breaking this down. Tripped up over the holidays and how that could affect people's buying decisions and accepting people's money so far in advance before the program actually begins. Jennifer Jade, any mix of intuition, biz advice? Okay, let me read. I want to start prepping for it now and launch it before Christmas, but have the program start date in January, but I'm getting tripped up. So this, what I'm about to share with you, Brittany, is actually coming more from my head than my intuition. So bear that in mind, because your intuition is going to be so much clearer and stronger for you than going through someone indirectly like myself. But the first thing that's coming up for me for you is that people are a bit more aware of their spending money over Christmas time. So between, you know, we've got Thanksgiving for Americans on Thursday, and then Christmas. So this doesn't mean that you can't do it. Some things to bear in mind are that there's more competition on Facebook ads. So if you were going to promote this through Facebook ads, the conversion cost per lead might be a little bit higher than any other time of year, because we have so many other stores now with their Black Friday ads and their Christmas sales and all these things. So you have more competition for space in the news feed. So you have to pay a little bit more to have space in people's news feeds over Christmas. Not to say you shouldn't do it or you can't do it, it's just a little bit more. And then you really having to take into consideration that people are more tightly hanging on to their money over the holidays because they know they have to spend it on Christmas presents and things like that. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm not saying that it's not possible that you shouldn't do it, but to bear in mind how people are thinking this time of year. So maybe in your marketing, if you feel called to be promoting this over Christmas, you're saying, you know, make this the best gift. Make this the gift of the best year for yourself. Make your gift for yourself the best business, you know, video or branding or, you know, whatever program you're feeling called to offer. But using it in a way, using the language in a way that it will relate to where they're at right now over the holiday season. So bearing those things in mind. Other than that, I've found that giving people a couple of weeks into January, so let them make a payment on their Visa bill and kind of settle things down and put the Christmas ornaments away, and then they can start thinking like, okay, well, what's next for me? How am I gonna make 2018 the best year of my life? If 2018 was the last year of my life, how would I be spending it? What would I be doing? You know, and then of course you can have this wonderful offer in front of their face. So I think it's up to you, but I think offering it between now and January, really you thinking about, okay, well, you know, they are going to be thinking about Christmas. They are going to be taking that into consideration. How can I use language that will serve them, you know? And so asking that question that we talked about at the beginning of the live, how may I serve? And asking yourself, what wording could I use where they could use this to being the greatest gift they've ever given themselves? Or maybe it's a gift that they ask for from their significant other, or maybe this is the gift that they asked for Christmas this year. But I think using it in that way, really understanding where your client is at and what they're thinking about and speaking to that. So having that real clear message, we can talk about that more as well in our group, because I know we're working together. Yay, I hope that helps. Thank you for sending that in 4 separate lines so I'd actually see it, Brittany. Thank you. Hey, Talia, yay, I'm so happy. Hey, Tammy, thank you for being here. Hi, Phil. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Phil. I'm happy. Samantha, good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving week. Yay. Oh, look at that. This is just, you know what? This just lights me up. Seeing I've got soul sisters here, like from my Savvy Soul Sister group or from programs that I've run, the Awakening, the Uprising, the 9-to-5 Escape Plan, and they're all saying hi to each other in this feed. Like, is there anything better than that? That is just so cool. And Jennifer says, hi, beauty. Cool. Okay. Happy Thanksgiving week. Awesome. I think, honestly, I hope that was everyone's questions. It's not really letting me see everything, but I think I got to everyone. So just a quick recap for anyone that's joining in late. If you've got what you need from this live and you want to hop off, that's all good. For anyone that didn't watch the whole thing, I'll give you a quick recap, but I do recommend if this is resonating with you that you do go back and watch kind of the meat of this live, because I really got into it. That is this. If you are in a place where you actually really do have no idea how you're going to keep food on the table, how, you know, you're going to feed your kids and keep your heat turned on, there's a difference between that being an actual reality coming around the corner for you, like this month or next month, and ego and fear just telling you, oh, if you keep pursuing your dreams, you're going to end up homeless, you're not going to be able to pay your bills, the bank's going to foreclose on your house. There's a difference between ego creating really loud, obnoxious fears in your mind and reality. So if your reality is actually your heat might get turned off, you cannot afford to go to the grocery store, then, you know, getting a job may be in your best interest. And not just because, you know, you need the money, but to shift your energy away from really being desperate and nervous and anxious and feeling like you're in lack and you don't know your way out and I don't have enough, because your energy is created by your thoughts and the universe reacts to your energy and it always says yes. It always says yes to your energy. So it never says no. So if your energy is, I don't have enough, I'm afraid, I can't, I don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills, I don't know, I'm scared, that's the energy, and the universe says yes. So it gives you more of that. It gives you more of that reality. It gives you more of those circumstances. So getting a job is not only going to make sure that you eat this month and you keep your heat turned on, if that's realistically where you're at, not just a fabrication of your fears and ego, but it's going to shift your energy into being like, okay, I'm safe. My bills can get paid. Okay, now, how can I focus on my business in a way that feels good and joyful, and bringing up your energy into this place of, okay, I'm safe, I'm happy. What would be the most joyful way to grow from here? What can I do next? You know, what would be the most joyful way to create clients? What would be the most joyful thing to create for people? And really bringing your energy up to that place. So now you actually start growing your business. So getting a job, yes, is going to keep food on the table, but it's also going to shift your energy and it's going to keep your business alive. It's going to keep your dreams alive. It's going to create more momentum in your business because you're no longer so focused on lack and scarcity and worry and fear. So do not allow ego to keep you broke and stuck by telling you, oh, if you get a job, you've failed. If you get a job, you've admitted defeat. If you get a job, you're such a loser. If you get a job, everyone's gonna laugh at you. That's ego just telling you those things. In reality, I really admire and respect people who are willing to do whatever it takes to keep their dream alive, including working at McDonald's or scrubbing tables or mopping. I mean, how many amazing, inspiring stories have we heard from actors and other successful entrepreneurs that they were a janitor for 10 years while they were trying to get their business going or their acting career going, that they scrubbed toilets for a living, that they did the most, like, whatever things that they could do until it happened. It was not a matter of if they were going to fail or if they might fail or when is this going to happen or not. It was they kept going until, and they did whatever it takes, including having to take side jobs if that's what it came to. So please don't allow ego to ever get in your way of moving forward with your dreams. It is not admitting defeat to accept income from other sources if it means keeping your family safe, fed, clothed, bathed, and your dreams alive. So please know that. If you're in a space of, yes, ego is getting loud, fears are getting loud around money, and you are nervous, and, you know, but it's not really a reality yet. Not yet. It's not yet. It's not really a reality for you that you can't make the minimum payment on your credit card. You can't make minimum payment. You know, finances aren't awesome, but, like, yeah, you can keep the kids fed and, like, the power on. Maybe it isn't entirely necessary for you to get a job. Maybe it's more necessary for you to shift your energy with your thoughts. If you can understand me and really be honest with yourself, that you can understand me when I say you are in the driver's seat of your thoughts. You are in control of your thoughts at all times. You are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not truth. They are just things that float around, and you are the observer of your thoughts. And at any given time, you can choose to shift your thoughts. So when you are communicating with a potential client, instead of bringing in this energy of, oh Lord, I hope they book me, I hope they hire me, I hope they'll take me on as a client, and you could be cool as a cucumber and, like, not actually saying those words, but if that's what you're holding in your thoughts, which means you're holding it in your energy, I said this before, people can smell bullshit from a mile away. So you could be acting cool, you can be acting relaxed, but if you're not actually relaxed and the thoughts going through your head are chaos and, holy crap, I hope this person hires me, people can feel that. They can sense it. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but they'll just decide not to actually work with you. They'll be like, oh, I just don't think it's a fit. And they may not know why, but it was your energy. So well, how do then we grow a business if like we don't have clients and we do need to bring in income? Well, this is where we have the two categories. Either you get a job and you have your most basic needs met by your job while you grow your business so that you don't have to feel desperate and needy. Or if you're in a place where you can, number one, put food on the table, and number two, be in control of your thoughts and really understand. Here's a great book to help anyone watching, The Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer. This will really help you. Get it on Audible. Honestly, I think it's easier to listen to than to sit and read. But The Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer, this will help you really understand that you are the observer of your thoughts. You can change them at any given time. And why is it so important that in those moments that you're communicating with a client, you shift your thoughts from what is in it, instead of what is in it for me, to how may I serve, how may I serve, how may I serve? It shifts your energy. And now the energy, the vibe that you're putting out is, wow, this person really cares about me. They're really in this energy of how they can help me. They care about me. They care about actually serving me and helping me more than they care about making another dollar. So I really trust this person. This person cares about me. I'm digging this person. Yeah, I'm going to work with this person. So I'm not saying you have to be in control of your thoughts 100% of the time, all day, every day. But in those moments, you're connecting with clients, whether it's in direct conversation, when it's you're creating a sales page, a Facebook ad, an offering, anything that's your potential client is going to be in communication with, in contact with, be in that energy of how may I serve, how may I serve, how may I serve. This is why your intuition is so big to learn how to connect with, because then your intuition can speak to you, say this, offer this, do this, ask her this. And that's such a beautiful way to communicate, is when it's coming straight from your soul, straight from your intuition. Anyway, I have babbled on and on here. I hope this makes sense. I hope it serves you. Feel free to ask more questions in the comments, and I'll go back and answer them as best I can. Thank you so much for watching, and I will see you next time. I'm Jennifer Jade. I love you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Thanksgiving to my American friends. I will see you soon.